Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 27, verse 61, ending in chapter 28, verse 15. In today's study, we will see a stone, a seal, and soldiers. Despite all these things keeping Jesus in the grave could not hold him, and he rose just as he said he would. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew 27, verse 61.
We're in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and we have just a few verses left there in that chapter. We'll pick up here in verse 61. That's where we left off a few weeks back when we were last in Matthew's Gospel. And Lord willing, we'll travel into the majority of chapter 28 this morning. God willing, we'll get through verse 15, and I don't expect to cover all the things the Lord has shown me in that chapter, in that beginning portion, so we'll rewind next week. We'll pull from those verses there in the opening of chapter 28, and God willing, as far as what I feel like he's showing me thus far, we'll finish Matthew's Gospel next Sunday. We began it in the beginning of April of 2016. It has taken almost 3 years to get through it. And to be quite honest with you, I could have taken even more time. The Word of God is so deep and wide and so rich. And like Daniel just prayed, he prayed so accurately. We give great place to the Word of God here. It is all about the Word. I've never been more serious about the Bible in all of my life. Just because I'm up here wearing a leather jacket, don't misconstrue and think I'm some hipster guy that is trying to be cool. I'm simply cold, and I wore my coat into the sanctuary this morning. I love the Word of God. I've never been more obsessed with it in desiring to know it, because it's through this gift that he's given to us that we know him. So let's begin here in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 61. Let's just read down. And there was Mary Magdalene, chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 61, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They're watching. The synoptic Gospels tell us they're beholding where Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had just laid their Lord. They're watching. They know what tomb it is. They're not mistaken when they go back. They know where they're going. They saw where he was laid. There's an account here that tells us that there were eyewitnesses of where the dead body of Jesus was put. They're beholding. They're watching where he was laid, in a grave where no man had ever been laid. No man had, it's a virgin tomb. He came into this world through a virgin womb. He exits through a virgin tomb. No man ever laid there. So when it's empty, there's no mistakes about it. It was simply his body that was put there, and his body alone. Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pontius Pilate. And they said, "Sir, we remember that deceiver," they couldn't even say his name, I'll say his name, "Jesus Christ, that deceiver, he said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." They're better students in some ways than the disciples of Jesus, the critics of Jesus. "We remember when he was walking and talking on the earth that he said that after 3 days he will rise again. Command, Pontius Pilate, command therefore that the sepulcher," I love the grammar here, "be made sure." You can make the grave of Jesus as sure as you want. Make sure that it is to be made sure, absolute, and to the third day, lest his disciples come by night and they steal him away. And they say unto the people, "He is risen from the dead," so that the last heir his quote-unquote resurrection will be greater than the first heir, which they are saying him claiming to be Messiah. Hey, listen, we got to guard the tomb. We got to make sure of it. Because the last potential heir of him allegedly resurrecting from the grave, it will be so much greater than the first heir, people accepting him as the anointed one from God. Everyone with me so far? If you didn't bring a Bible, follow along on the screen. The word of God is powerful when you read it and hear it. Pilate said unto them, I kind of like Pontius Pilate. I struggle with what to do with this man. He was tormented. I know it's at his hands Christ was crucified. I don't like that at all. I know that he was cowardly in that sense, but man, there was a turmoil within him, and he had it up to here with the Jews. He was frustrated with them. He says to them, you have a watch. He says, you go your way, and you make it as sure as you can. In other words, you guys better get out of my sight. You're lucky that I even handed him over. He was tormented. You're lucky that I even gave him over to you. So they went, verse 66. Now watch this. And they made the sepulcher sure. Sure they did. Right? Sealing the stone and setting a watch. We've got a stone, about 1,000, maybe even more pounds. We've got a seal, and we've got soldiers in place. We've got a stone that Joe and Nick rolled in front of the grave. We've got a seal, a Roman seal, that if it were to be found broken by anyone, you would be crucified upside down. And we've got soldiers in front of that stone. A group of soldiers made up of 16 Roman guards. I don't believe that this is the temple priest here. The context doesn't call for temple priest. These are Roman guards, I believe. These are those that are Navy SEALs, our Army Rangers, our special ops. These are those that the forces today that we so greatly respect and admire have modeled themselves after in their practices to some sorts. These are killers. These are men that occupied whatever it was that they were occupying very closely together, all of their backs facing each other's back so that there was no way that they could be exposed. They only had between them 6 square feet, enough room to shoot. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day, what day is that? Sunday, right? Hey, listen, in this sense, the Sabbaths are over. There's a new rest. There's a new day dawning. It's the eighth day. In Israel, there is no Sunday. That's pagan. It's the eighth day. For us, it's the first day. It's a new day. It's Resurrection Sunday. Right, church? Y'all, you're here because it's since this day, it has been the pattern of the church, the routine of the church, to gather together the first day of the week, because this is the day that Jesus got up. Hey, this is the day that Jesus got up. This is a day of new beginnings. It's a new start. There's a new rest in place now in Jesus Christ. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, if you want to know who she is, the mother of James and Joses. They came to see the sepulcher. They thought that they were coming to finish the anointing that Joseph and Nicodemus had begun. They didn't come the day before because it was Sabbath. And on Sabbath, you can't travel more than 2/3 of a mile. So they stayed home in respect of that holiday that was in place. Now that is over, as the sun is rising, very early in the morning, these ladies are going back to the tomb that they were just at a few days before. They did not mistake where they were going. They beheld where Jesus was laid. They didn't go to the wrong tomb. They went to the right tomb because they saw where he was put when he was buried. And behold, consider this, Matthew says, he gives us details that no other gospel gives to us here. And the reason for that is because he is an ex-tax collector. I know that most of you probably don't care, but forgive me, I have to tell you. As an ex-tax collector for many of years, he would have had access to many of the Roman guards because they would stand behind him while he would sit down and collect taxes with a spear in their hand so that if you do not render to Caesar what is Caesar's, you dealt with them. He was friends with these fellows. He would know them by name. That's how he had access to this information. Nobody else tells us this. Mark, Luke, John, they don't give us these details. Only Matthew does. Fascinating, isn't it? There was a great earthquake. For, that's a causative word, verse 2, the reason for the earthquake is that the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And he came and he rolled back the stone from the door. And I like this angel. Don't you? He sat on it. Hey, one of your sources of surety, I'm going to sit on, the angel says. You want to roll a stone? I'm going to sit on the stone. You want to look at that as a mechanism to keep Jesus in? I'm going to sit on it, the angel says. I don't know his name, but I like this angel. He sat upon the stone. There's another angel there too, we know from the other Gospels. His countenance, the soldiers must have told Matthew. Nobody else was there. His countenance was like lightning. That's the brightest light they knew back then. It was like lightning, like light shooting forth. And his raiment, his clothes were as white as snow. They were blinding. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Listen, the language, the tenses are this. The keepers kept shaking. They were convulsing. They couldn't get a grip. Their adrenal glands were going crazy, shooting out adrenaline in their body, and they were just overwhelmed with fear, right? And they pretended that they were dead. The problem is they kept shaking. They blew up their own spot. They're shaking, they're trembling. These are Roman killers, soldiers. They're shaking, they're trembling at the presence of an angel, at the earth quaking, at the stone rolling away, and they're trying to act like they're dead because they don't know what's going to happen to them. I love it. And the angel answered, and he said unto the woman, fear not you. He didn't say that to the Roman soldiers. He said that to the woman, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, past tense, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Listen to what it says here, though. As he said. That's powerful. Those three words have ruined me the last few days. As he said. Just like he's done everything that he's always said he would do. He did this too. Right? That's why I'm calling this message this morning. He's good for it. He's good for whatever he says. When he says something, he means it. He's going to follow through with it. He's going to do it. He's going to perform it. He is faithful. That's incredible this morning. Listen, as he said, he is risen. He's not here. As he said. Because Jesus, he always keeps his word. You might want to write that down this morning. That's a solid point. Jesus, he always keeps his word. Right? Not everybody always keeps their word. In fact, not anybody always keeps their word. Jesus, he always keeps his word. The angel said, he is not here. He is risen as he said, that's so powerful. I'm not even going to preach this morning. I'm just going to read to you. This is powerful. Just like he said he was going to get up, he got up. He is risen. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. That blows me away. He's gone before you. He's waiting to meet with you. It says this here, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he goes to meet you in Galilee, and you're going to see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Those are two emotions that can be had at the same time that is very, very powerful. I've got great joy, but I'm shaking because I'm afraid. I'm overwhelmed. I'm anxious. I'm excited. But, man, I've got a lot of joy about what I'm overwhelmed by. I'm really excited to have this baby, but I'm scared to death what I'm going to do with it when I get home. Right? There's joy and fear that are synonymous. Listen, they had joy and they had fear. The angel says this, here's the message from the risen one. He wants to meet with you. He wants to see you. He wants to be with you. Go tell his disciples. And it says in verse 9 that they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them on their way in their act of obedience. Jesus met them in your acts of obedience. Jesus will meet you. And he says, all hail. That's not some holy saying, by the way. That's what's up. That in the first century, that was the greeting that they would use many of times. Shalom or all hail, which means oh joy. Oh joy. If somebody said to you shalom instead of all hail, that probably meant that they weren't really joyful to see you. It's just more like peace. Shalom's peace, which is kind of like peace, like see ya, keep walking type thing. But all hail is like, oh man, it's good to see you. It's like a fist pump. It's like a hug. It's a what's up. Seriously, that's what it is. He spoke to them in just common vernacular. He says, all hail. I'll come back to that next week. And they came and they beheld him by the feet and they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there they shall see me. My brethren, my friends, you mean the ones that said that we'll never leave you? The ones that said we'll never forsake you? The ones that fled when things got hot? The ones that chickened out when you were arrested and taken to the cross? Them guys? Go and tell them? Sneak peek for next week. Now when they were going, behold, verse 11, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, silver, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported, Matthew says, unto the Jews unto this day. Lord, I only have a few minutes now before we come to your table. So I just want to say whatever you want me to say before we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess what the Lord would have me tell you this morning is that he's alive. I guess what the Lord would have me give to you, because I don't got a lot of time to give much to you at all, because we got another service coming in and your children will go crazy if we leave them back there too long. And if they go crazy, the children's church teachers will go crazy. And if that happens, everything's bad for everyone. So I guess what I want to give to you this morning is this, is that Jesus is alive. The cross was the payment. The resurrection is the receipt. You need to know that this morning. It will really sober you up. Maybe. If you're here today and you're playing with sin, you're playing in sin, you're living a double life, listen to me, please. Your Savior is not a dead Savior, because then he couldn't save anybody. He's the resurrected Savior. He's the one who's at the right hand of the Father. He's the one who, whatever he says, is yes and amen. It's absolute. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, over 300 prophecies he fulfilled in his first coming. He's not somebody to mess around with. More is spoken about concerning his second coming than his first. And he fulfilled everything that he said he would do in his first coming. So know that Jesus is alive and he's got a lot more to do. Don't play around. Don't make mockery of him. He's good for it. He's good for his word. Don't make sport of him. Three basic credentials, note takers, of Jesus Christ that will really help you to embrace what I'm saying to you this morning is this. The impact, number one, on human history. Nobody has ever made an impact on human history like Jesus Christ. That's irrefutable. Number two, what I just said a moment ago, prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. Incredible. What makes your holy book stand out compared to any other religion's holy book is the fulfillment of prophecy. Over a third of the Bible is prophecy, and it's all fulfilled by Jesus Christ and will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Whether you like what he says or you don't, whether you embrace certain teachings or you don't, what he says is true. He is the truth. Number three, the resurrection. The resurrection. Nobody else resurrected themselves ever from the grave besides Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. It's not an event. It's a person. He is the resurrection. It's not something that's futuristic. It's now in him. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. His grave is empty. Paul said, if it weren't so, we of all men would be more miserable than anybody else. We'd have no gospel. We'd have no good news. It'd all be in vain. It'd all be empty. It'd all be purposeless. Listen, this morning, same for you and I. It's not just a thing to sober us up that he's alive and well, but it's also a thing to stir us up, to encourage us. That we come to church, and even though we can't see this God, the God that we worship is real. He's alive. His tomb is empty because he is the God-man. He resurrected. Now listen to me, please. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. He was already gone. The stone was rolled away to let people in to see that there's no one that lays there. And as I said to you in the beginning of the message, no man had ever laid there before Jesus Christ. So there's no misconstruing any of the details. He is risen. And if he got up, I guess, let me give you this one to you because I know a lot of people are suffering this morning. I know a lot of people are hurting this morning. If he got up, we will get up. He's the first fruits of resurrection, the first Adam sinned, and through his sin, death came into the world, and we're all plagued by that. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he, the perfect Adam, beat death, beat the grave, beat sin, beat Satan. So because he got up, all those who believe in him will get up also. So those in your family, those that are your friends that are in Jesus Christ, they are waiting for you in glory. So when you take your last breath, not only will you be with Jesus Christ, the victor, but you will be reunited with family and friends that have gone before you. So if you lose somebody or you're losing somebody right now, there's a meeting place, there's a gathering place that you have to look forward to be reunited with them. If I go somewhere with my children, especially like an amusement park, there has to be a thing of, hey guys, listen, when you enter the park, right? My parents did it with us. We got to do it with our kids now. If we somehow get taken away from each other, if somehow lines, you know, there's confusion or bathroom breaks or getting food, whatever it would be, or we're severed from one another.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.